spend some non-religious time with God, just worshiping him, and respect what he's saying to you. Respect him. Believers must obey God's word in order to receive his guidance. If you're going to go out there and do whatever you want to do and live any way you want to live, guess what? You're going to get exactly what you chased after, worldly things.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Lord Guides Our Way and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about the Lord guides our way. It's in Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. Psalms 37, verses 23 through 24, Amplified Version is what I'm reading from. The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. I'm going to go over some talking points here that we're going to be covering here today concerning that the Lord guides our way. Okay, so point number one, who is good in the eyes of the Lord? We read in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 in the NIV, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You might be wondering why Jesus said this to this man. Well, the first step into receiving what God has for you and his guidance is that you have got to acknowledge that he is the one that is good and you are not the one that is good. Now, I know that when you turn on the radio or you turn on the TV, there's a lot of preachers that tell you that, you know, you are a good person and you deserve everything that God has for you. But you know what? The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches examples of people all the way through history that failed God. But despite their failures, God's grace overcame man's sin and he blessed people regardless of their past, present, or future sins or mistakes. And the reason why I think this is so important is because when we're listening for guidance, sometimes we believe we're undeserving. Well, guess what? We are undeserving. All of us are undeserving. But when we acknowledge the one true good person that we are speaking to, we acknowledge to ourselves that even though we're not deserving, we know that God's goodness overrides that. Does that make sense to you? How many times have we given things to our own children knowing that they did not deserve it? However, we overrid that with our own goodness. We know that you did bad at school. We know that you didn't listen when you were supposed to when company was over. But I'm going to have some grace here, and I'm going to treat you with my goodness. Okay, so this is the way that we have to approach God, knowing that he is the good one, not ourselves. We are to humble ourselves and acknowledge our position to God. When we become humble to God, we are acknowledging that he is good, and we put it on him rather than ourselves. Everybody say, put it on God. Take it off yourself, because it ain't up to you to be good. Now I'm not saying, don't get this wrong. I'm not talking about being disobedient. I am just saying that God's goodness is above our badness. Does that make sense? So we don't have to come to God saying we don't deserve. We already know we don't deserve. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called grace. Secondly, God's guidance is promised only to believers in Christ. Don't you guys know that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you have something that unbelievers don't have? You have the guidance of God. Listen to Samuel chapter 10, verse 9, NIV. He will guard the feet of his saints. Everybody say, I'm a saint. You are saints. Everybody is saints that believe in Christ. But the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Say, it's not by my strength that I'm going to make it. It's by the strength of the Lord, because He is good. Amen. You hear that? You guys picking this up now? You guys catching what I'm saying here? Believers in Christ have something that sinners don't have, that unbelievers don't have. You guys have the guidance of God, and He says it in His word that He is going to guard your feet. Well, what happens when you guard somebody's feet? You make sure they don't take a wrong step, right? Now, you might think in your life right now, I did take a wrong step, but how do you know that God don't got you right where He wants you? Just because it looks bad doesn't make it bad, does it? Right? Sometimes we're in a place that we don't understand, but God is still guarding our feet while we're in that place. It looks scary. It looks dark. It looks gloomy. But guess what? God is guarding your feet. Okay? God is guarding your feet. He is watching after you because you are a saint. The sinner doesn't have that. So if you look down and you look at somebody that don't believe in God, who doesn't acknowledge God, who trashes the name of Jesus Christ, and you see their life all messed up, you know what? That's because God isn't guarding their feet. Now, I'm not saying that non-believers don't have a good life, because I know that there are some people out there that don't believe in God that do have a good life. But what I am saying is that the Christian has life eternal. And that's the difference, because when the non-believer dies, that's all he's got. That's all he's got. He's got what he used to have. Okay, he's got nothing to look forward to but the grave. Okay, but the saints, that's us, we have eternal life, and God is going to guard our feet even through death. The non-believer can't say that. His riches won't save him. His popularity and fame won't save him. But the guidance of God and the promises of God will save the saints. And so 3, respect, fear, and worship of God are key to hearing His guidance. Respect and fear. Now, when I say fear, I'm not saying that we should be like afraid of the boogeyman. God is not the boogeyman. Of course not. But understand that he holds in His hands life and death. You understand that? And not just of your life physical, but of your life eternal. Jesus said, don't fear those who can destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. In Psalms 25, verse 12, Amplified Bible, it says, who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. Notice that the word he is capitalized, meaning that God will teach that man the course, the way that he should choose. Understand that when you fear God, you fear the consequences of disobeying Him. All too often I hear Christians just readily disrespecting God and not listening to what He has to say in their life, saying, well, I know what God told me, but this is what I'm going to do. Well, that's not fearing God. That's not worshiping God. And that's not hearing God. You understand what I'm saying here today? That when you do not fear the consequences of what can happen to you in the Word of God, you are going to reap the consequences because you did not hear what God was trying to tell you. Every day I believe that God is speaking to us. Every day God has a message for us. But all too often we don't have enough fear in our hearts of the consequences of not listening to Him. Now, I'm not just talking about that God chastises those whom He loves. I'm also talking about that sometimes you could be making a choice that is wrong for you, but you have no fear of the consequences. You have no fear of God when He's telling you, don't go that way. It's a bad choice. That relationship might be bad for you. That job might be bad for you. That friend of yours might be bad for you. That choice, whatever it may be, if you don't listen and respect what God has to say to you, you're not going to hear His guidance. So again, respect, fear, and worship of God are key to hearing His guidance. Now, there are some ways that we can worship God. And this is, I think, you know, I fought in my soul, I struggled in my soul, whether or not I should put these talking points into here. But I thought to myself, well, if we don't have worship of God, we don't really understand who He is to ourselves. You know, if you're sick and you talk about being sick, say you got a headache and you go around telling everybody you got a headache, doesn't it feel like that headache's getting worse? Okay, so listen to this. When you start worshiping God, your understanding of Him and your praise of Him starts to build as well, because what you speak out of your mouth, your mind hears, right? You hear everything that you're speaking. So you're reinforcing that. And sometimes you might be speaking about God and you may be saying it to the right person. When I say the right person, you're talking to an anointed person and they'll start praising with you. So here are some ways to worship God, in case you're wondering, how can I worship God? Because maybe you've seen on TV people getting up there, clapping their hands and shaking their bodies and dancing and running up and down the sanctuaries. That's all fine, but that may not be for you. Not everybody worships the same way. We're all made differently by God. We're all made in a special relationship to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're all unique in Christ. I understand that. So it may not be your cup of tea. So here's some ways that you can worship God. There is no wrong way in this list. First of all, you could speak of God in favor. Everybody say, I can speak of God. You can acknowledge Him in front of people. You can sit there at your work and you can tell people the reason why you have the peace that surpasses all understanding is because of your Lord Jesus Christ. You could speak about Him. You could tell your friends about Him. That is a form of worship. Just speaking of God, saying good things about Him and telling people about Him. Secondly, you can shout to the Lord. You can say, hallelujah, which means praise be to God. You can say that all you want. You can shout to God. There's some people that'll do it. I've been to churches, they make a great noise. They make a great noise. But I've been to other churches that people just kind of sit there nice and quiet. Nice and quiet. And they'll speak things out of their mouth real quietly. It depends on your own individual personality, okay? So don't let anybody say you're praising God wrong. Praise is praise, right? I'll take a pat on the back any way I can get it. How about you? That's right. I'm not going to sit there and look a gift horse in the mouth. You can sing to God. You can sing to God. It doesn't have to be just in church. I've seen people on the job singing to the Lord, saying, praise your name, Jesus. Just sing it to the Lord. You can get out an instrument if you like to as well. You can bow down to God. You know, you can just sit down on the floor sometime and just kneel your head down in reverence to God and just be silent before Him, just bowing in front of God, just to feel His presence. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get into the presence of God, that peace that surpasses all understanding, I don't care what's going on around you. The world could be collapsing around you. But when you're bowing in front of the God that loves you without any conditions whatsoever, you can start feeling that peace that surpasses all understanding. So sometimes just bowing in front of God is a form of worship. You can stand quietly in front of the Lord. You can just sit around or stand around and just bask in His presence. You can just stand. I've seen people in church when the Holy Ghost hits them, they'll be sitting in their chair and they'll just stand up and raise their hands up or just stand there. The Lord has prompted their soul just to stand. I don't understand it, but I've seen it happen. You can dance. You can dance to praise God. You can dance. You can dance for joy. You can play your instruments, guitar, piano, whatever instrument that God has given you the gift of. You can play an instrument to God and just dwell in His presence while you're doing that. Clapping is a form of worship. And I'm getting all of this stuff from the Bible. You understand that? I'm not making this stuff up. This stuff comes out of the Bible. These are ways that people have worshiped God in the Old Testament. Lifting hands. You can lift your hands up in the air. How many times have we seen posters and pictures of churches and praise videos or whatnot? But anyhow, you see the people raising their hands up to the sky. You can raise your hands to God. A little child raises their hand to their mother or father to be picked up, don't they? Sometimes you're so low and you just got to raise your hand and say, God, pick me up. Carry me through this. I can't go any further. That's a form of worship. That's telling God that you love Him. You trust Him. Okay, so our fourth point is obedience to God. Obedience to God through faith. It is the key to receiving His guidance. Everybody say that obedience to God is key to receiving His guidance. Receiving His guidance. Why is obedience so important? Now, listen, when I say obedience, I'm not talking about religion. I don't like religion. Everybody up here, look at the poster up here. Teaching of a relationship, not a religion. If you guys come to me as my friend and you start treating me like I'm some kind of a religious figure, I'm not going to enjoy your company much. I'll still love you, but I'm not going to enjoy your company much because you ain't going to be treating me like a person. I'm a human being and I have feelings. I have emotions. You understand that? God has emotions. God may not have a physical body because He is spirit, but He has a spiritual and emotional person about Himself, okay? We don't want to come to God in a disobedient manner. Who likes a spoiled child that never listens? Raise your hand if you like a spoiled child. See, I don't see anybody in here raising their hand on that one. But let's read Proverbs 3:6, Amplified Bible. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Now, do you understand what it means to acknowledge him in all of your ways, to know him, to recognize? Okay, let me tell you what. Whenever you're about to do something, I don't care what it is, you need to be applying the word of God to it. Does this line up with the word of God? Am I about to tell a lie? Does God want me to lie? No, he doesn't. Am I about to take something, no matter how small it is, that is not mine? Does God want me to steal? No, he doesn't. Am I about to gossip about somebody at work? Am I about to say something mean about somebody that's not true? Does God want me bearing false witness about somebody? No, he does not. Now, I'm just giving a few examples, but you need to look into your heart and every turn, every decision that you make, you need to acknowledge God. Because when you acknowledge God, you're going on the straight path already. Do you understand that? Now, one thing I had to learn the hard way, because I am not a perfect person. You guys might all be perfect in here. I see that. But for myself, I have made a lot of mistakes. I have made a lot of mistakes, amen. And I'll tell you what. God holds accountable his saints. God holds accountable his saints. See, he's built into the system of disobedience that when you mess up, there's going to be a repercussion. It may not happen that minute. It may not happen that hour, day, or week, or even year. But you can do something that's disobedient to God and plant a negative seed in the kingdom of heaven, and that seed can spring up, and next thing you know, you're in trouble down the road. But on the other side of the coin is that you can plant a good seed. And we talked about this last week, didn't we not? We touched a little bit on seed planting. Obedience, I believe, obedience to God is planting good seeds in your life. You plant some good seeds down the road and God will send people to water them. And before you know it, you got some good stuff growing up in your life. And you know what? You're on a straight path with God. Who can go wrong going on a straight path with God? Now, I'm not saying that all your troubles will disappear because you're on a straight path with God. But I'm telling you right now, I'd rather be in trouble with the world, okay, and on a straight path with God than to be right with the world and wrong with God. Because you know what? I'm not living forever. None of you are living forever. And I want to make right with God, and I want to do with the time that he's given me as much as possible so that I can make a difference in his kingdom. And I'm sure that everybody in here, because the fact that you're here tells me that you want to make a difference in his kingdom too. You know, religion, man, we just throw that out the door. This is a relationship, okay? If you love somebody, you will do what they ask you to do, will you not? If you love your husband or your wife, you will give them the desires of their heart because you truly love them. If you love your children, you will do things that will make them happy, will you not? You don't do things that are going to hurt your children on purpose, do you? You don't do that on purpose. Who in their right mind would do something to hurt their own child on purpose? Do people hurt their children on purpose? Yes, they do. But are they in their right mind? No. I'm believing today that we are all in the right mind of Christ, and we don't want to do that. Likewise, we want to be obedient to God because it is the key to receiving his guidance. But notice how I put the word faith in there. This is something else I struggled about when I put this in here. Because obedience without faith is just robotics. Obedience without faith is just robotics. And I'm going to touch on this as an example. I know that the word tithing is a scary word in church, okay? But I'll tell you something. If you give 10% of all of your earnings to the church because you believe that God is going to bless you for that, and that is your motive, okay? Your motive is to get something out of God. I don't think that's real faith. I don't think that's real faith. And be honest with you, I don't think God wants your money that way. Now, that might sound harsh because I know a lot of preacher men are talking about, give me your money, give me your money, give me your money, and God will bless you. That is the wrong motivation. Because if you told me that you were going to be my friend if I gave you something in return for it, I wouldn't want to be your friend because I don't buy my friends and God doesn't buy his friends either. Does that make sense? God wants obedience through faith, which is love for him, reverence for him, worship of him. You guys follow what I am saying here. God wants you to love him and he wants you to be obedient out of faith, not because you want something out of him or because you're so afraid of the consequences that you're doing it out of total fear and not respect. Does that make sense? You guys follow what I'm saying here? Okay, so when I use the word faith, I absolutely do mean that you got to have such a love for God that when you're about to do something, you know, I'm telling you right now, there are people that are about to do something and they know the consequences. They know it's going to hurt them and they'll do it anyways. They'll do it anyways. They'll take the consequences of it. Well, I know I shouldn't be taking too many pills. The doctor told me one a day, but I'm going to take three. And I know the consequences of this, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm talking about faith. Faith tells you, you know, I may not love myself enough not to do what I'm supposed to not do. But I love you, Jesus. I love you so much that I don't want to grieve you. And I want to be obedient because I love you, because you're my friend. You ever hurt a friend and look at their face? You ever hurt a friend on purpose, knowing you were going to do it? And you did it anyways, and you saw their face, and you saw what you did, and you wish to God you could take that back. Well, when you have faith and you have obedience through faith, you're looking up at God's face and you're saying, Lord, I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to hurt you. You're my friend. I have a relationship with you. I don't want to break that bonding we have. And what I mean by that is the fellowship of God is when you can feel God's presence around you. When you feel God's presence around you, that's the fellowship. Everybody understand that? You want that peace that surpasses all understanding? You have to remain in faith to God, and he will draw near to you. The Bible says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Come on, this is human principles, right? You got somebody in your life who isn't drawing near to you. Are you going to come close to them? You might reach out for a while, extend your hand. But if that person don't want to be around you, are you going to chase them down and force them to be with you? God isn't like that. God doesn't chase people down and force them into his presence. Does that make sense? Because God is a person. So obedience through faith is key to receiving his guidance. Okay? Pardon. I've ordered a new wireless mic. It's the microphone. I've tracked it down. So the devil don't like these sermons being recorded, and we do record these and put them on the web. Okay. The Bible is the Christian's main source for God's guidance. This is something else that Christians don't want to hear because they don't like to read their Bible. Christians don't like to read their Bible, do we? Because the Bible is a mirror. When you read it properly, you're not reading it saying, oh, I know Johnny down the street needs to hear this. Nah, that's the wrong way to read the Bible. See, when something stings you, you're supposed to say, oh, God, you're talking to me, because it's a mirror. Number five, the Bible is the Christian's main source for God's guidance. Psalms 119, verse 104, NIV. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Again, the Lord is mentioning feet, is he not? Guarding your feet. Didn't he not say he would guard the feet of the saints? And now in Psalms, this is why you have to know your whole Bible, because it all comes together. See, you know, God says if you seek, you will find. He didn't put the Bible all down in one little ordered list because he knew that you'd all just skim through it and forget about it. He wants you to seek his word. Okay, so if you turn to Psalms 119 and 105, you're going to understand how he's going to guard your feet. Your word is the lamp. So first you heard he's going to guard your feet as being his saint, right? Now this is how he's doing it. The word of God is the lamp. When you have the word of God inside your heart, inside your mind, inside your soul, and you apply it towards your life and towards the lives of others, guess what's going to happen? It's going to illuminate your path. See, this is the secret that I was searching for. And God said, if you seek, you shall find. So I'm finding it now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You guys are being blessed here today, whether or not you know it. All right? You're being blessed because this is what I struggled with, God. How do I get this guidance? You know, every time I asked that, I'd see a vision of the Bible in my head. When I first became a Christian, I would not read my Bible. They say a confession is good for the soul. When I first became a Christian, I would not read my Bible. I was lazy. I thought it would be boring. But when I started cracking it open, I started realizing that there was guidance in this word, that there was practicality in this word, an application if I chose to apply it. So your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So if I want my path lit up, I need to read my word of God. Do I not? Tell everybody next to you, you need to read God's word. The Bible says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know the things of God, how are you going to be able to live the way he wants you to? And if you do love somebody, won't you find out more about him? You want to know about God? He reveals himself in his word. So if you really love God and you want to get closer to him, you can't get any closer than his word. You start reading the word, he'll start filling your soul up with it, okay? Again, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So illuminate yourselves, folks. Illuminate yourselves. Don't be lost out there in the dark. Being saved is only part of it. Coming to church, that's part of it. It's important that you're getting this message. But when you're away from here, I can't be with you. I can't be with you 24 hours a day. I can't be with you when the time comes and the troubles hit and you're alone in your bed at night and you're waking up at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever the case may be, worried with the cares of the world. I can't be there for you, but Jesus can be. And if you want him to be even closer to you, read his word. Because I'll tell you right now, in times of trouble, God will come to you and he will bring you a verse and you'll be like, oh, thank you, Jesus. See, your trials and tribulations aren't wasted by God. They're not wasted by God. Sometimes you're going through things because God's trying to teach you something about himself. He's trying to show you, look, I'm going to make you a promise in this trial, in this tribulation, through my word. And when you receive my word, you can count on it that I am not going to break it. Now, see, if one of you guys give me your word on something, I may have to just say, I'll believe it when I see it. Not because I'm calling anybody here a liar, but because you're human. Anything could happen, right? But when God gives me his word, hallelujah, I'm going to believe it. Because God has got me through some things that I thought nobody could get me out of. And believe me, you, there are some things that people can't get you out of. There are some things in your life that you can't even get yourself out. Okay? And there are just, man, this is times when people can't comfort you. You ever have a friend call you up in time of pain and they're trying to comfort you and they're saying all the wrong things? God's word is not like that. When God brings you his word, it will deliver what he set it out to deliver. Okay. Believers are not immune to troubles in life. See, some of you thought you were off the hook. Why is this happening to me? I'm a Christian. Why is this? Come on. And then you get mad at God. I thought if I trusted you, nothing bad would happen to me. I did everything right in my life. You did? I don't do everything right in my life. And sometimes people come into my life and they do things to me. I know we all have friends that hurt us. We all have people that hurt us. We have circumstances. But listen, believers are not immune to the troubles in life. Say, I'm not immune. Isn't that hard to say? Y'all were louder with the other stuff. Now you're like, You don't want to hear that, do you? That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Knowing that you can believe in God and you can put your trust in God and you can come to church faithfully and you can pay your tithes faithfully and you can do everything that you can possibly think of to do right and you're still not immune to troubles in life. John 16:33 NIV, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Listen to this. Jesus is telling you, man, you might believe in me, and I know you do, but you're still going to have troubles. He's telling this to his disciples. They were persecuted, and all but one of them suffered death for their belief in Christ. Of course, Judas was lost because he killed himself. But all of his disciples were murdered for their belief in Jesus. Do you know that? Except for one, John. He wrote the book of John and Revelations in John 1, 2, and 3. He lived and died an old man. But the rest of them were all died martyrs. But I tell you what, they had troubles. Now see, this is the hard part of the Bible to swallow. Because I know in this day and age, preacher men want to tell you things to make you feel good. But believe me, if I stood up here and I lied to you, eventually you wouldn't feel good about God anymore. Because Jesus adds something to this. He says, take heart. In other words, have hope. Because I've overcome the world. Now, what does that mean? What does the world do to you? The world hates you. I'm talking about as a whole. The world's against you, right? Come on, guys. Let's be honest. How many of you can really count a whole handful of friends that you can really count on no matter what? One, two, maybe? No matter what. No matter what. Last week, I told people, go to work and start praising God in front of people at work. Start talking about God openly and see how many of your coworkers drop off from you. But see, here's the thing. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. I hate to break the news to you, but you're going to have troubles. But God has overcome the world. He's overcome all those people that are going to hurt you. He's overcome all those people that are going to lie about you and talk about you. He's overcome all of those rotten, nasty jobs that you hate doing at work and all of those jobs that you're going to get later down the road. Sometimes the troubles that we consider trouble is the very thing that God's trying to get out of our souls. Sometimes we got this person that's a thorn in our side. And we're saying to God, why did you let this person in my life? They drive me nuts. And God said, you said it out of your own mouth why they're in your life. See, they shouldn't be driving you nuts. You're supposed to have peace and long-suffering. Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Number 7, believers have God's help in time of trouble. See, this is the good news. You thought it was all bad. You're going to get some help. Believers are going to get help. Look at it. Isaiah 41:10 NIV. I'll tell you something, guys. Isaiah 41:10. You mark this down in your Bibles. Mark it down. Because I'm going to tell you what. A storm came into my life and I clung to this scripture. The Lord brought it to me. The Lord brought it to me. Somebody in here today, I feel it in the Holy Spirit. They need this. I don't know when they're going to need it, but they're going to need it. So I don't know who you are, but write this down. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Well, those are some beautiful promises. First of all, he's telling you, hey, stop fearing. Stop fearing. Stop being afraid. Get that pit out of your stomach. Don't wake up in the middle of the night with your stomach feeling like a pit, trembling in fear. Stop that. Don't fear, for I am with you. You could be waking up all alone in your bed in the middle of the night when the world's crumbling down on you thinking, what am I going to get my next dollar? How am I going to take care of my kids? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to do this? And God says, stop fearing, I'm here with you. But my problems are still here, that's fine, but I'm here with you. I'm here with you and your problems. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Man, you can't get any higher than God being with you. And you can't get any higher than God being your God. All right? God is the ultimate authority in your life. There ain't nothing going to happen to you without God's permission. So if you find yourself dismayed and fearing, you better find yourself back to God in his presence. Because God says that I will strengthen you and I will help you. How does he strengthen you? God may not always give you the tools that you think you need when you need them. Sometimes he will give you the inner strength to endure. Sometimes people will look at you at work and they'll say, how can that woman be going through the stuff that I know she's going through and still be coming to work and doing her job and holding up? How can that man be enduring what he's going through when just a thought of it for my own life would destroy me? Just, I don't even want to imagine what that person's going through. But God says, I will strengthen you. Sometimes we pray, God, take it away. And God says, no, I'm going to give you the strength instead. I'm going to have you glorify my name. For when people look at you, they're going to see my son, Jesus Christ, and the strength flowing from the heavenly realms into your soul, out into the world as a light. And then I will help you. I will help you in my way, not your way. We pray all the time, Lord, Lord, help me. This is what I need. And God says, you don't need that. You don't need that. That's what got you into this mess, is you thinking what you needed. No, I got a different plan for your life. Because sometimes God will get you through the storm. Sometimes he'll get you out of the storm. But it's all up to his way, right? It's not up to us to dictate to God what we need. But God says, I will help you. And then he says, I will uphold you. Who wants to be upheld? No, you're not going to fall and sink into the water. You're not going to have the waves crashing over your head. Absolutely not. They may bash against your boat, right? The winds might blow your house, but God is going to lift you up above the storm, right? He's going to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. And you know what? He's going to do this with his righteous right hand. Where does Jesus sit? On the right-hand side of God. That's the position of authority. Who's righteous? Christ, God himself, his righteous right hand. Okay, through Jesus Christ, the Lord is going to uphold you. He's going to uphold you. Now listen, you can believe in God all you want to. You can believe in angels all you want to. All of that's good and necessary. But if you don't apply Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the one that God has sent to save his people, to your circumstances, to your life, to your salvation, guess what? You don't have the help of God, because it's through Jesus Christ that you have been saved. Lest any of you boast, it's through the faith of Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying today? Now, I'm here to tell you guys, if you're struggling with something in your walk with God, give it to him. Chosen people don't want to do what they're supposed to do because God makes you do things that are impossible. Say this to your neighbor. God will ask you to do the impossible. That's how you know it's God. The devil ain't going to ask you to do something impossible because he knows you won't do it. And he wants you to do something that's possible. And the thing he always asks you to do is something to destroy you or somebody else. And God will always ask, he'll ask you to do something that's impossible. Or you know what? God, I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, you better start praying because I told you to do it. Because he will lead you into a situation and it looks scary. And he'll ask you to do the impossible. But guess what? Believers have God's help in time of trouble. So sometimes when you think that you're all alone and the world's forgotten about you, you're right. You're right in the sense that the world has forgotten about you. But that's where God sometimes wants us. He wants us alone so that you can't listen to all this other gibberish out there. He wants to separate you from the people that you've been listening to so he can get you alone. And he can say to you, okay, now that I have your attention, can I tell you a little bit about myself? Can I tell you about how much I love you and how much I care about you and how much my only begotten son gave so that you may live with me eternally? Can I tell you about these things? I'm sure I can now because I've taken everything else out of your life. I've moved it. And you know what? God wants to hear your angers, your upsets, everything. Everything that you're feeling, you need to vent that to God. Don't go to your prayers to God and be superficial with him. Tell him how you feel. Do it respectfully, but tell him how you feel. If you're hurting, tell him you're hurting. If you don't like your circumstances, tell him you don't like your circumstances. Be real, people. Be real. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that this is what I pray for the most. You guys may not know this, but I do love all of you guys. I pray every day that we won't have what they call a dead church. Does anybody know what a dead church is? You can have a building with 50,000 people in it, and there's no spirit of God in that church. There's no holy people in there. Holy means set apart. Do you know that? Don't you want to be set apart? Or do you want to go out into the world and just act like them? You know what I mean? Or do you want to be set apart as God's holy chosen people? You want to be set apart. I'm sure you do. You want to be unique to God. Listen, God has put his favor on your life. God is a holy God. And now, as believers, we are his children, and we should act like his kids. We should act like his kids. We shouldn't act like we came from the devil. When we go out to the world, we should show everybody in our actions, hey, I'm a child of God. You should know I don't cuss, drink, do drugs, cut up, tell dirty jokes. You should know I don't do those things. Am I perfect? No. But my Father is, and I want to be an example of him. Why do we want to be an example? So that other believers in Christ can be uplifted and non-believers can be called to the kingdom. Listen, if God's done something for you, if he's brought peace to your life, pulled you out of a situation, do you not know that there's other people out there that are in trouble right now that need his guidance, but they can't get it? You know why? Because they don't know of him. We're to be his example so that we can lead others. God wants to be able to use you. That's what faith and obedience and surrender is to God. You have to have these elements in order to get his help because you got to hear him and receive it, right? You can go to the doctor and not believe he's going to help you and not take the medicine and stay sick. But if you trust in that doctor, you're going to listen to what's right for your life and take the medicine and get better, right? So apply God's word to your life and apply it to others and be a light for God. Take somebody by the hand and say, listen, I'm not perfect, but I know what God has done for me. And I can't tell you what he's going to do for you, but I'm here to tell you that God is faithful and he loves you. Okay? Take that person by the hand and lead them. Lead them to church. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to love. Lead them to love. Because that's what it's all about. If God didn't love you, you guys wouldn't be here right now. I believe there's no coincidences in our lives that God places people where he wants them to be. The body, the flesh, it wants to fight that with God. I don't want to be in church on Sunday. I want to be out there doing something that's fun. And God is saying, look, you might have fun on this Sunday, but you're going to miss something that you need in your life. And 3 Sundays down the road, something bad's going to happen to you. Not because I'm cursing you, not because I'm punishing you, but because I was there to give you guidance. Because you know where you're supposed to be on Sunday, right? Right? You all read the story in the Bible about the paraplegic that was put in through the roof of the church to get to Jesus? Man was paralyzed, and he had to make a hole in the roof to get to him. Shame on us for not wanting to come to church on Sunday. Shame on us for not getting enough sleep on Saturday night. You want God's guidance? Be where he's given it. Chase after God. Seek after him. Okay, summary. I don't want to get too long-winded. To be good in the eyes of the Lord, you must have faith in Christ, because only Jesus Christ is good. Only God is good. God and Jesus are synonymous, right? Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Remember, I was talking about seeking, right? We must seek him. Unbelievers do not get guidance from God. We all know that. So when you look at people out there that don't believe in God, we know why they're in trouble. We know why they're falling into those traps that the devil sets for them. They're not listening to the word of God. They're not even seeking it. 3, respect and worship of God are crucial in hearing his instructions, okay? Respect and worship. If you want to hear what God's got to say, you better spend some time with them, right? You better spend some time with God. You ain't going to know what your friend says if you don't check their Facebook status, right? Used to be you had to call them up or visit them. Now we just check their Facebook. Hey, I know all about you. How you know? Oh, I've been reading up on you. All about you. You should hear what your other friends are saying about you on Facebook. Come on, you guys know about the rumors on Facebook. I hear people all the time. If you say one more thing about me on here. Respect and worship of God are crucial in hearing his instructions. Spend some time with God. Spend some non-religious time with God. Just worshiping him. And respect what he's saying to you. Respect him. Believers must obey God's word in order to receive his guidance. If you're going to go out there and do whatever you want to do and live any way you want to live, guess what? You're going to get exactly what you chased after, worldly things, okay? But if you're not going to listen to God, then you're not going to reap the benefits of his guidance, right? We all have kids in here and we tell them to do something. They don't listen and they get into trouble for it, don't they? You have to respect your parent. And by respecting him, you are obeying him. The main source of God's guidance comes through the Bible. Everybody say, I need to read a chapter out of the Bible tonight. In times of trouble, believers can rely on God's help. You can rely on God's help. Don't be all panicky. Don't be running to the phone, but run to God's throne. Start praying to him. Lord, there's something that you need to know about. Well, I already knew about it before you were even born. How many of you know that God knows everything that's going on in your life before you were ever even born, before creation was made? How many of you know that God already knew? You ain't surprising God. Some of y'all think, oh no, God didn't know about this. I better go tell him. But let me call my friends first. What's your friends going to do for you? What's your friends going to do for you? What's your friends going to do for you?
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.